bilateral things, and there's, I got that, something coming on solid on that nuclear agreement. Well, I've spent the morning now going over the communicators in 15 pages. They're doing a few curveballs, of course. But it's in better shape than we were in China. And I think in a day or two work there, we can settle it. It'd be a very significant communication addition to the principle. But it's got a tremendous lead. And for the first time, people are going to see in one document everything that's been done.
Yeah. I was looking at the, I was looking here at the schedule that we have, and you suggested that I sign the space cooperation agreement, which I think is good. I noticed that Train thinks I should also sign an environmental agreement, which I have. I see no reason. I think the one
I think is, I think space and salt and the principle.
Space, salt, principle. Well, why not have plenty of signings? Is there,
you want to, anything you want to sign, we can sign.
So no damn reason why I shouldn't be up front and center. Now, they'll say that the environment thing worked out before we got here. The hell was it done?
Well, Mr. President, the fact of the matter is that, I mean, for example, on the science agreement, I don't bother you with these things because I know what you want. No, but I just want to give you as an example. That thing has been kicking around for a year. I got David in, I said, let's go over these points. You're going to settle it in 3 days. So he did. Then we gave it to State to do some drafting. The total deadlock developed immediately because they came up with 30 nitpicks. So we settled that yesterday afternoon. On the incident,
State doesn't know that we settled it.
No. On the incidents at sea, for example, you remember the issue about which rogers came to you, fixed distances and so forth. I knew this would drive the military off the wall. We didn't want the military yelling at it since we need them on salt. So I went to Dobrynin and I said, and I suggested a formula to him by which they accept our terms this year and we agree to review it at the end of next year. Without agreeing, then that, so on and I had breakfast with Laird on Monday morning in Mora and told them we'd do what we could. And that evening at 9 o'clock, the Russians yielded and accepted our position. Laird called me up and said he couldn't believe it. He said in 18 hours we settled something that they had negotiated 4 months over. So your influence, whether you physically have done it all at, we can demonstrate that of these agreements, not one could have been done without your personal channel depression.
Well, we will have some of the departments. Peterson will try to claim that he didn't.
He can't. He can't.
Naturally, Smith will say he did salt. And,
Mr. President,
they did all the other.
I think what I ought to do when we get back,
you've got to have a.
I ought to get in some of the leading journalists, or maybe go on television.
Well, you may have to do more than that. You may just have to. We've got to really set it in. It just can't be in 3 or 4 columns.
No,
my point. It's got to be something that has national impact where they know.
Well, I have no great desire to do it, but one way of doing it would be television.
We're not going to let the state boys get away with their little game this time.
Because the way to do it would be, instead of arguing who did what, it would be just to have somebody ask me on the biggest forum that you see considered suitable. Now, how was it done? And we could say the president has been exchanging correspondence with Brezhnev. This is how their replies came back. This is how we handled it. This is how we... At that point, we don't give a damn because they're all done.
Yeah.
I mean, to bring these agreements to a head all at the same time...
Now, with regard to the signing, there are two different ways. Maybe it's not as well for us to be in on all sorts of science things, maybe as well to sort of hold back and do salt principles.
Well, no, you should do it at the space because that's got so much imagination to it.
Yeah, and also in my 1959 speech, remember, I said, let us go to the moon together. And that's not a bad point.
He told me that that evening, your first evening, there'll be a very his speech and the tow, it'll be a short speech, they said, so.
A tow haul of ours, it might have to be 200 words.
Well, not the first evening, Mr. President, you have to give a substantive speech. About 10 minutes.
10 minutes copy or 10 minutes translated?
I'm afraid of copy, because they're going to give at least 15.
15, 30 minutes then? You see, what we're talking about is a translation.
At Spazzo House, you can wing it.
I'm not going to wing anything.
At Spazzo House, you could be brief.
Yeah, but my point is, I want to find out what the length of their speech is.
I've just found out.
In word. Well, if it's 15 minutes in Russian, that's 30 minutes.
They told us 15 minutes. They said a short speech. Now, I asked him, what does that mean? He said that means between 10 and 15 minutes in Russian. And it will close with a toast to you. But it will have...
Who the hell's working on that?
I've got Andrews and Sapphire working on it with one of my people.
Yeah. And we have Price working on the television.
And Price is working on the television one. We spent an hour and a half together yesterday in the light of your phone conversation. We spent some in the morning, but then after you called me, I got them all together again. And
they'll come around.
I think the television speech, actually, we have plenty of time for it.
Yeah, but the first speech...
The first speech is very important.
I got to have the damn thing on the plane.
Yeah, that is very important. That's got to end. That should be rather sober.
I'd rather meet it. On the signing of agreements, what is your view? Should we be up there signing agreements over there, or does that take too much away? Well, the spaceman, the environment, I don't have to sign. I don't care much about it. Want to let Roger sign the environment?
Some of the guns that didn't know anything about.
Quite a bit. There's no reason for it to do anything.
Did they put this good?
Yeah, it's in the second page. I'll get it for you. I think we've got Debrina and I.
And the way you handled Vietnam was beautiful, and the way you put the Middle East after. And then another thing I did with him, I went over his paper with him on the Middle East. And we, for the first time, the Soviets are willing to talk sense now. In addition to the withdrawal of their forces, when you said there's some things you can't ask Israel to do, he said, all right, now, just put down concretely. And I think the best position for you is to come out of this meeting without an agreement on the Middle East, because it sure as hell that with a plan by which to move it ahead.
What do we say about the Middle East? That we discussed it?
Well, we can, and that Yaring should redouble his efforts or something like that. The trouble with pressing too hard on the interim agreement, which we may get, is that it may raise more questions about the final agreement than it's worth, because we don't need any more agreements after this here, I don't think.
Except there's going to be great impeachment in the East. I don't give a damn about it, except, well, we'll do that later.
Well, we can perhaps get that before November.
We might do it in September, you might do something.
Right.
Now, Vietnam, though, but I think it's well that we now agree to bring Vietnam up. No use to bring it up at an early point, because we're not going to give a goddamn inch of either they.
No,
this idea that we're going to...
Well, I wouldn't say to them, the one thing I suggest, don't say they won't give an inch, because I think they're beginning to give an inch.
No, I mean, I'm telling you that. I'm not going to tell them that.
I mean, I would suggest that you tell them that as great powers, we have an interest. Well, as you said, not to let these little countries drag us into confrontation. Because I really think that...
You got your message from Hanoi.
Yeah, well, what we got was...
Nothing.
Well, no, they submitted a 17-page document in reply to my considerations there. The fellow who received it didn't get it. I mean, can't understand the significance, so I don't know whether it's boilerplate or not. But for them to submit, I can't believe, when they submit 17 pages, that's a convoluted way of getting into a discussion with us. That isn't just boilerplate.
But then you haven't got a reply yet as to whether you would also...
Not through the Russians.
Yeah.
But Dobrynin told me, and I really don't believe he's lying, that he's never have they put so much pressure on Hanoi to talk as on this one. But I think, though, the logic of events is going to force Hanoi now. We are getting one report after another all along the front. I will send you... We had a report, for example, where the French delegate general in Hanoi wrote to the French foreign minister. Shelled since early April in Khartoum. an attack started by a regiment and we laid a B-52 strike on it, and it stopped. Now, the fact that Khartoum, we have 24 artillery pieces in Khartoum, that's all. They
no
had
tanks, nothing.
Very few tanks. It's a, we pulled out the good troops and put in a nothing battalion. So I would have thought that Khartoum would go 3 weeks ago. Any week that passes, any day that passes brings the rainy season closer. So Haig believes, and I tend to agree with him, maybe they have enough for one more big push. But up to now, this offensive is a fiasco for them. Sure, they took one tree, but that's all.
It's a fiasco, except for, as I said, the three news magazines that came out the day we made the broadcast.
But
those side pictures all said defeat, retreat, humiliation. That was not true.
It might have been if you had
might
done
have been
what
if
you
if
did.
If we had done, it would have been. It gone down the tree.
Because the big impact of your speech, in addition to what it does to the North, is, as you pointed out yesterday, is what it does to the South. As all the generals that were thinking of making their own deals now are back in the fold. There was no offensive action anywhere until your speech. They've now moved little things. None of them by themselves mean anything. But they've now moved artillery to within 3 miles of Anlach. Our people have. So for the first time, Anlach has its own artillery protection. And the South Vietnamese are just beginning to move much more aggressively. All of this is the result of your speech, because the major problem there was psychological.
Sure, they had the troops.
And
well, Abrams said that in his report. He said it's will.
Now, yesterday we dropped that span near China, and it's just. Just a very, even if the Chinese and Russians made a massive effort, the first thing they'd have to do is bring anti-aircraft down on these railways. That would take them a month. Then they'd have to repair these railways and take them another month. And I just don't think that they're going to do it that way. I think you have a chance to engage Brezhnev in a solution of this issue. I really do.
We're going to try.
But I would play it just as tough as you did here, that you're determined to settle it. You've had enough. And that they and we have a common interest not to let it get in our way.
Settle it. But we're determined to settle it, but not on the basis of giving anything in negotiation. There's just not going to be any more giving in negotiation. We can't talk about
the only thing we could ultimately consider, but I wouldn't play that card yet, is that you won't run in the election, as he's promised, that he's already said. But before we even consider that, they've got to make a major concession to us.
Ceasefire.
Well, if this military situation continues, they're going to lose some territory. See, they're planning now a two-division operation with armor in military region 1 to go for Quang Tri. They want to wait first to absorb one blow, and then they want to head up north. And when that thing gets unstuck, the North Vietnamese could be. That's the breakthrough. It's about like Germany in 1918. If they don't make it in one push now, they've had it.
War usually ends that way.
I had the Ivy League president in yesterday. They asked to see.
Oh, shit. Sons of bitches. I wouldn't have seen them.
It was a mistake.
They don't deserve it. They don't deserve it.
But
I
tell you,
them, they are never. I'm surprised that we really have. Who did this? Haldeman told you that?
Oh, I did it. They called in for a meeting with you, and I made
the mistake. The Ivy League president? Oh, I won't let those sons of bitches ever in this White House again. Never. Never. None of them. They're finished. The Ivy League schools are finished.
I tell you, I spent an hour with them, and it was revolting, because they have now embraced the program of their. military aid.
And what happens?
Well, they said, if a communist government is in power in Saigon, I said, do you consider that? I'm amazed that leaders of educational institutions should take such a position on a moral issue. The president of Papua said, look, there are a lot of immoral things happening in the world which we don't resist. So this
Henry, I would not have had them in. Don't ever do that again.
Well,
don't ever have in. They came out against us when it was tough. Don't ever have them in again. And when they have to get back from this trip, they want to do it. Don't ever go to an Ivy League school again.
Never.
I tell you, I said, the New York Times, the Washington Post, I wouldn't care if they wrote the most slobbering editorial in the world. I will never see one of them again. Never. They're never going to be in the White House again.
At the end, I said, now, I really let it to them. I said, you know, it's really amazing that you people could condemn this army and not even mention the invasion. I said, but I've given up on you saying anything political. What I can't understand is that you, the leaders of educational institutions, cannot even bring yourself to ask your students to show a little compassion. How can you encourage people to believe that you have a monopoly of anguish and that you are the people who want to end the killing and the president wants to continue the killing? At least you ought to contribute to defining the issue properly. One of them, the president of Brown, Cornell, said, look, if we ask for compassion for the president, we'll get killed. So I...
they finish. They don't know how bad they're going to be off, too, because I'm going to turn on those sons of bitches. I'm going to finish those schools off to the extent that I can.
John, he had nothing to do with it. John Connolly at that dinner for Al's house yesterday, he said that he hoped you're going to be around the camp, another in the campaign. They were talking politics with him, and he said that he thought that you could have a tremendous victory, but it was essential. Show the restraint you've been showing up tonight.
Right.
But I know you know it's you.
Yeah, we've certainly got an actual restraint to this fellow, Dan Mansfield. Goddamn him. Now, he's had it. He gave him a trip to China, sucked around it. He's acting like a goddamn oil brat. Yeah. One thing that Ehrlichman has been dragging his feet on because of Schultz, and now that we got Schultz the hell out of the OBM, and I want you to get Weinberger. I want those funds cut off for that MIT. All right, you get a hold of Weinberger and say, I want the goddamn funds, and I want them to know it now. Get it done. Okay. You give them $40 billion a year. Why? They don't want to be in the military. Then why did they give you a joint? They're all of them. They're going to get it.
I think that it's better. But I think we got the thing in good shape now.
No, they don't mention when they come in that China initially was the Soviet initiative and all the rest of these sons of bitches. No, they're just whining about it.
They're going to kill them next week, Mr. President. No one has any idea what you're going to come up with.
The main problems we got, Henry, I think, as you're quite aware, is not with the left, but with the right. Now, this is great with the left. It's going to be terribly difficult for the right, particularly salt. Statement of principles, and that's, we just got to be sure that on salt that we're not free, that they'll do two things. One, that we let down our allies. Two, that we put our arms around our enemies. And three, that we froze ourselves into inferiority. Those are the things we've got to
that last one hand. They just can't make. I'm going to get McGregor's getting them together for me tomorrow morning.
Wonderful. Good.
And I'm going to brief them together with Moore.
Moore?
Yeah. And
that'll pull the rug out before Rogers and his people get a chance to piss on it. How can Rogers' people piss on it now, though? I mean, Smith is going to be 40.
Of course. Oh, yeah. He's giving us more trouble than the Russians right now. Every day. Again, if it weren't for your channel, this thing would never... But every breakthrough was done by you. Was the May 20th, the submarines. Every solution was worked out in the Brezhnev channel. And every detail this last week, I just don't bother you because I don't believe you give a damn. But there's 18 radars or 16 radars, but
I haven't got the time to look at mean, let me tell you about the Ivy League presidents and Time, Newsweek, the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the network leaders. They're finished. And incidentally, that includes the business elite.
Time has been a little better.
Not Moshe. Yeah, but that's...
Zaidi has been a disaster.
That's right.
Life is a disaster.
That's right. But my point that I'm making is this. They're finished for this reason. That if when it's tough, they aren't there, we don't want them. Now, we've got to build a new establishment. We're going to, and it isn't going to come out of the Ivy League. And let me say, I've already given instructions. You know, there's never going to be another Harvard man hired in our staff. Not many new ones. We've got too many already. No more. It's too bad some good men will be missed. But why do we take people that have had their minds poisoned up there? No, never.
We've got to put them to the sword, Mr. President.
I'm going to.
It's just no longer.
I don't mean that we get much better out of Ohio State, but God, there's a chance. At Harvard, there's no chance.
You'll get better out of Ohio.
Yale, same.
Columbia. Yale is worse than Harvard.
Much worse. Princeton. But you see the whole bunch. These people have no courage, no guts. They're nothing. You know, that they don't even, but another thing, they must have no intelligence. Don't they realize that what we're doing may work?
No, they don't. Well, they're more afraid that it will work than it won't. I think, Mr. President, I think if it weren't for the elections, it would certainly, the only question is, are they going to stagger on till November? That's really the only question, but if they...
By the time November comes, they're going to be leveled, I can tell you.
They'll be leveled and
then right we can impose the Soviet summit. After the Soviet summit, we're going to really hit it. I really, really hit it.
Because you have the option now, as soon as that military campaign is, of accelerating the withdrawals and keeping the blockade in being. But I don't really think withdrawals make a hell of a lot of difference anymore.
The main thing is the car part of the blockade is to step up the bombing of the North and just knock the little bitches out of stuff, re-put it to them. I'll be too damn concerned about these civilian casualties. We get money for them anyway. Let them have it.
Well, I think we are at the point we can step it up somewhat, but this is the first time they've been hit scientifically, Mr. President. They were never hit by, they're being hit by about 300 planes a day. That's more than Johnson ever hit them with, and then Johnson frittered his effort all over the place. They've never had two or three targets that were just clobbered. Their POL ought to be finished in another 6 weeks with nothing new coming in.
Well, one thing we're going to do, incidentally, right after the Soviet summit, is take out the power plant in the middle of Hanover. We've got to do that.
Two good targets in there. Well, we're taking out...
You know, no problem. They can hit that power plant.
We're taking out this week, before we go, there is a big transformer station at the outskirts of Hanoi into which all the grids feed. That's going this week. Then there's a power station and these rail yards in the center of Hanoi, which we can take out any time you want after we get back. And the power station in the center of Hanoi serves Hanoi primarily. That transformer we are getting serves all of North Vietnam. And
is it under the green? And we'll call Rogers this afternoon
at 4 o'clock.
See, the point is that we're not going to stop.
You, fits on the principle, so I'll guarantee you, if you take the negative, it's always possible to...
Show us, for example, what their first, showing how they, their first paragraph, for example, paragraph 3 was so much tougher than what they finally agreed on. God damn it, we've gotten down to a few things.
And we got them in effect to put in a renunciation of the Brezhnev doctrine. Well, anyway, lunch with the Brezhnev, and then we'll go back.
Yeah. Well, he's,
He is delighted, and I think this is going to be tremendous.
We've also gotten him on the mountaintop, too, in terms of...
Well, I like the way you handled the Brezhnev visit there.
Yeah, you've got to show him this and stay here. You know, like they told you what you were doing, so this is only reciprocity.
Oh, yeah.
And hell, they'll love it.
And, but you'll find, see, this guy's so insecure. If you feel if the thing is going well, it could even dangle, perhaps...